So hi, thank you so much for tuning into the ITD podcast. And as you all know, we are doing a season about Indian juniors. And today we have two in-house experts, Sufyan Ibrahim and Jayan Chaudhary. So welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So why don't you all go
thank
ahead
and... Thank
you
so much for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So why don't you all go ahead and introduce yourselves? How long have you been following tennis or playing tennis? Tell your stories.
Yeah, Sufyan, you want to go first?
Sure. So I started following Indian tennis, particularly after the Rio Olympics, where we had a massive heartbreak, you know, when our mixed doubles pairing lost the semifinal and then the bronze medal playoff. That is when I sort of started following Indian tennis, particularly very deeply. And per se, from there, I drifted to following Indian juniors because there were literally no new names coming up. It was the same lot of Sania or Bopanna, you know, that we would be seeing on the Grand Slam entry list, particularly doubles again. So that is when I drifted towards following juniors. And there was a good crop of juniors back then. I think 2017 is one of the best years that we had in juniors, 2017, 2018, because we had three girls in the top 40 of the ITF juniors ranking. We had Zeal, we had Mehak, and we had Mihika. And Zeal had a very good run at Australian Open juniors the next year. So it was really something different because it has not happened after Sania did it in 2003 or so. So we have to literally wait for a decade to see emerging junior stars. And that is when I started particularly following the junior circuit of India.
Okay. And how long have you been working with ITD?
Yeah, so I think it was this mutual connection with Vatsal and Vishnu. They started the ITD page, I think in 2016, and I was following the page and frequently commenting on their posts. I was more of an ardent follower myself, and that is when they approached me and asked me if I would like to be part of it. I was doing my medical studies, and I felt like I'm not going to do justice to ITD. So initially I was, I think, a little reluctant, and I asked for some time, but I think following a few weeks I agreed to be on board. And I think in 2017 I started contributing to ITD, and it began with interviewing some of the players and then posting regular updates and all the other out of the court aspects of Indian tennis.
Right. Jayan, would you like to talk about yourself now?
Yeah, sure. Hi, I'm Jayan. I would say that I started watching tennis in like maybe 2003. Before that, I might have actually seen it once or twice, maybe one of Sampras's matches. I think the one where he beat Agassi in 2002 at the US Open Finals and then retired like right after. 2003 is when I saw like Federer win Wimbledon for the first time, and then but I was still not like really into it. But I think what really got me in was Sania Mirza at the 2005 Australian Open. If I'm not wrong, she reached the third round and she played Serena Williams. And I remember watching that match in Delhi when it was really cold in January, and then sitting with my brother and my grandmother, and we all like, this is just unbelievable. We've not seen like an Indian person compete in a Grand Slam that we actually like follow. I think a few people of Indian descent before that had done really well in the early 2000s. Like I think Prakash Amritraj did play around or toward the US Open, and then Shikhar Barai as well. But at that time I was not following tennis so much. And then I started following Sania quite a lot. Like I remember seeing her match against Kuznetsova, if I'm not wrong, in Dubai at the Dubai Open, and also at Wimbledon. And yeah, that is what really got me into tennis, and I started playing also after that. obviously, like, it's too late to even do anything in tennis when you start playing when you're like 15 or whatever. So I didn't do too much, but I really love playing the sport and like think about it 25 hours a day. And then after that, I would say Yuki and I were the same age, and one of my school friends told me that he had played Yuki Bhamri in some kind of school tournament or maybe Aita Juniors tournament, and Yuki beat him 6-love, 6-love, and I think he hit like some 20-second services or something like that. So that's when I actually heard about Yuki Bhamri. This was in 2006, I think. And then I saw on one of the news channels that he had won the Under 14 Asia Championships. I think it was in Bangkok, if I'm not forgetting or not totally messing it up. And yeah, so I started following him more, and then obviously we saw that he won the 2009 Australian Open Juniors. And yeah, that's when I started getting more into Indian tennis in particular, and then started following more of Rohan Bopanna and of course Somdev Devarman. Saw him win the Commonwealth Games gold medal for us in Delhi, like courtside, and that was like surreal experience. It was like so good and so proud. After that, I think there was I think I got like just a little busy with life. There was a little bit of a break in actually following Indian tennis. Somdev was still playing, but I think he'd started maybe like declining a little bit. And also I think Rohan also started focusing more on doubles, but he was doing really well there. I obviously heard about Somit in 2015. I think that's when he won the junior Wimbledon junior doubles title. And yeah, we all saw the report on NDTV, at least. Like I hadn't followed him before that, unfortunately. I wish I had, but yeah, that's when I heard of him and I saw his game on TV. Couldn't make out too much on TV, but I started following him more and more, and it was pretty evident that he's a very good player. I think how I actually got in touch with ITD after this is that I wanted to... I saw that a lot of people, a lot of our players, like not only on juniors, it's more on the professional level. They didn't have a lot of funding and there were problems with that. And I thought, you know, like even if I can donate 1,000 rupees, 2,000 rupees, it doesn't matter. It's about just the spirit of donation. How can I like help them? Because I was just like really shocked that these guys put in so much of work. Like they've been like putting in so much of sweat for the past 10, 15 years, like since the day they like turned 3 or 4 or 5, whatever. And it's so hard for them to get funding. It's unbelievable. And so I was trying to reach out to some players, but I wouldn't get a response. And that's also fine. It's probably because they're like, who's this guy trying to spam me? Like, I'm not going to reply. Like, is this one of those princes from a specific country who tries to scam me? And yeah. So I reached out to ITD, and then I just messaged ITD saying, hey, can you like, if you know one of these players, can you just like pass on this message that there is someone who like wants to fund you and maybe has some ideas about things like GoFundMe campaigns and all. So one of the members from ITD, Vishnu, he messaged me and he said that, hey, like, it's good that you're really interested. And there's a few of us around the world who are trying to volunteer and help out. So why don't you join in? I think this was in 2018. And that's when I started working with ITD, and it's been really good since then. I also, and that's when I actually started getting more exposure to Indian juniors. Like I worked a little bit with Ajay Malik, and by worked a little bit, I don't mean like in a coaching sense. Obviously, I'm not qualified to do that, but I wanted to really help him also because like I think it was in 2017 or 2018 when he won the under 12 or under 14, I'm sorry for my bad memory, in nationals in India with just like 2 years of prior experience and like with virtually no financial support, no good tennis infrastructure. I think he had to play with two tennis rackets and like just water and no energy drinks and all that fancy stuff. And then I really wanted to help him out. So I messaged him on Instagram, like through ITD, and then we got in touch and then helped him a little bit with his planning, with a little bit of training. And I've really kept in touch with him since then. Whenever I go back to Delhi, I try to just like stay in touch. Maybe like I hit with him in May this year, and it was really nice meeting him. And his dad's like a very, very nice guy, like very, very genuine, and both of them. And yeah, I've just stayed in touch with them since then. That's how I really started.
Okay, that's a wonderful story. And I think Jayant, you also have been interacting with juniors, like you mentioned, and Sufyan also said that before COVID, you were in fact personally talking to certain players. So is it possible for you all to like list out a few factors that are probably the main challenges that these kids are facing right now? And maybe we can help as a community to make a better future for Indian tennis.
At any point in time, even right now, if you look at the ITF junior rankings, we can find at least 300 boys and 300 plus girls ranked in the ITF ranking system for India. And that is probably a number bigger than some of the major tennis playing countries like Russia, United States or United Kingdom. And we have always had the number, and the biggest inequality was always in the quality of tournaments that these, you know, players played. Most of these players would play the local tournaments organized within India. And I think that stems from a lack of funding opportunities, and they can actually only afford to play the tournaments in India. And that is a big, a road bump for the progression of players, because Indian circuit is competitive, but we have seen even the top ranked Indian juniors, struggle a bit when they're playing even the lowest of the international tournament. And I think the rankings are not really very conclusive of the players, because an Asian player, particularly ranked within top 400, might still lose to an European player ranked outside top 500, top 600. I think that is just in terms of the quality, because the internal competition in Europe or in United States or North America is much more than the Asian circuit. So a big problem is the lack of quality-based tournaments. And also, second problem would be that there is actually no strategized guidance for these juniors. Most of the times, it's their own parents, you know, with more sort of an ambition than, you know, expertise, try to guide their kids that they have to do this and that. That would probably propel their career, but it usually does not work that way. We have seen that the best of the players tend to have the best of the coaches from a very young age. And for example, somebody like Coco Gauff has been trained in such a way from a very young age, and that requires some sort of, you know, commitment from a very young age, and that is obviously not going to happen anytime soon in India. Probably it's changing, but although we have established a national tennis center right now in India where the top ranked juniors are receiving sort of guidance from the national head coach of India, but I have not seen the results yet coming from, you know, unrecognized players, because most of these players were doing fairly well in the circuit already. So that is another problem. And I think the last problem, I think, which is a big factor, is it's always been the conversion from juniors to transitioning into a pro player. There's always been that particular lack where we see even the top ranked junior players, you know, fade out. It could be because maybe their progression sort of halted in comparison with other girls of their or boys of their same age group. We have seen even the ITF top 100 ranked juniors not able to transition properly into the pro tour and make it into even the top 500 of the ATP and WTA. And I don't think there's one particular reason why we can say that there's been a transition failure. And this is not just the case for tennis. I've seen the same phenomena in badminton, in other sports in India as well. Because somewhere down the line, I think sports loses priority even in the best of the players when they're transitioning from juniors to pro. So I think that three problems would be lack of quality tournaments, which would give you the most appropriate ranking, lack of funding, and lack of proper progression from a junior player to a pro circuit player. I think these are the problems that our juniors face the most.
Right. I think those were great points that you made, Sophia, like lack of funding, lack of exposure in terms of tournaments, and then always the challenges to transition from a junior to a pro level. Jayant, would you like to add something to that?
I think Sufyan covered most of the points. Yeah, I do agree that it's there's multiple things. I would say, like Sufyan said, we don't have lots of quality tournaments. It's also a cycle. It's a chicken and egg cycle, right? Like if you don't have quality tournaments, you will have a harder time producing quality players. If you don't have quality players, they're the ones who are going to be playing a tournament, so it's going to be harder producing quality tournaments, along obviously paired with the fact that for quality tournaments you also need like better infrastructure, better funding, all those things, like which I'm not going to go into detail because I think we've touched up enough on it. I think what something which is really coming up now, especially in the past 2 or 3 years, even though there might be more problems with funding because of the fact that we have information available on the internet much more now, and also especially with ITD, I feel like juniors have a better chance of getting more structured information and like someone to talk to about whether what they're doing is actually like makes sense or not. So I think it's improving. I am hopeful that in the next few years we will produce more players, but yeah, something has to change. I think the other thing that we need to touch upon is that we compared to players from maybe other continents, like especially in Europe, we don't focus so much on physical training since a young age. Like especially, like people think if you start doing even some sort of weight training, like even things like body weight training at like 11 or 12, you're gonna stay short. Like that's not the case. That doesn't happen. Like there's it's. We don't do so much of that, and that really affects things like transition, because for physical fitness you really need to form a base like very early on. It might not show up so much in junior tennis, but it does show up a lot in the pros. I think that was the only thing that I wanted to add. Yeah, but otherwise I think Sufyan covered like pretty much most of it.
Right. I think you made excellent points, especially that physical training is very important, which is sometimes neglected. I've seen that like in other sports as well, not just tennis. So looking at the Indian junior scenario right now in a very optimistic way, would you like to name a few players who you think are going to be big names in the future? Sufyan, you can go about it first.
Yeah. So, I would say that probably just not based on the rankings, but based on the performance in the international circuit, which I think would play more preference in, you know, expectations. I would say Shruti Alawat is probably one name that pops up. Of course, in the boys, I believe Manas Dhamne is projected to be the biggest sensational start coming out from India. Before them, we've had such names come out as well. For example, we have had Nikita Vishwaseth, who was probably our best junior just before COVID. Unfortunately, she did not have, you know, the best years to play, you know, in at her peak because of COVID. And she has taken the collegiate path, which I think is more justified in her case, because she had a lot of injuries. And I think such decisions also matter. We've had other players like Mehak, who actually won her pro circuit match at the age of 14, and that rarely happens, not just in India. So we have had instances, you know, sort of an upsurge where we have seen our junior players show glimpses to be doing well in the pro circuit. But as for now, I would put Shruti and Manas in the top of the list. Of course, I would also consider the Maruri sisters. If they're provided with the right guidance, I think can make it big. And so can Vaishnavi and Rushil.
Right. Jayant, what do you think about it?
I think Sufyan is much more experienced than me in terms of junior tennis. I would also like, I would really agree. Like, I think... at least for me, I've not seen a lot of the other juniors, but Manas and Shruti, I've at least seen a bunch of videos of their on YouTube. And also I've followed Manas's junior career trajectory a little bit. I think he just started playing ITF juniors maybe a year back, because he's still really, really young. Looking at his trajectory, I feel like Manas is in prime position to do really well. I think what stands out for me is that he looks like he's really well built. He seems like he's got a really good tennis brain. I saw a video of his on our Indian Tennis Daily channel. I think it was the Francavilla Challenge. I'm sorry if I'm messing up the name. In Italy, playing the qualifying. He lost 6-3, 6-love in the first round. But you can see that his movement is really it's hard to believe that, and I mean this in a good sense. It's hard to believe that someone who's so young can move so well and hitting the ball really, really hard with a lot of good topspin, good tennis strategy, good direction. I think maybe a little bit of work is needed on the serve, but and of course the other things, I think he's got a good set of people around him. Last I knew, he was training at the same academy where Yannick Sinner trained as well in Italy. He is based in Europe, which is really, really good. He gets exposure to a ton of tournaments. He gets to play on clay, which is really nice. Especially if you look at the kind of stuff you can learn on clay, point construction, endurance, fitness, all those things. I think that will really, really serve him well for the future. I just really hope that he's able to continue. And it can also be, he moved to Italy last year, if I'm not wrong. That can be a little hard in the beginning. Of course, he's so young, and it can be hard moving away from home. So I would say that I really expect really good things from him in the next 2 or 3 years. Yeah, I really have high hopes from him. I would also echo the same sentiment about Shruti. I think, I don't know her personally. I've never talked to her personally, but just looking at her game on YouTube, I think it's at a different level. It's really at a different level compared to what we see a lot of in the junior circuit. So I'm really hopeful for her as well. I also think that she is getting the right kind of guidance, and I really hope that continues. And yeah, I think she's going to be a really good player. Another person who I wanted to mention, I can't really comment on their prospects since I've not followed their career so well, but I really want to say I really thought Sahib Sodhi's game was really, really, really beautiful to watch. And I really love his technique, and shout out to him, I guess.
Yeah, in fact, when we spoke to Sahib on the podcast, he definitely is looking at a very bright future, I feel personally. Sufyan, you following junior tennis for a long time now, and you also spoke about following it earlier, like the older generation players, like not the current one. You mentioned that probably we don't get as many success stories as we have in the junior level, you know. So can you just list out a few factors why we can't be as successful in the pro circuit as well? What mistakes have these players made? Maybe if someone is listening, they can avoid it in future. What would you say about it?
Yeah, I think so when, at least from my angle, when I view it as junior players, I first of all look at the consistency in the junior circuit within India. And say, for example, Shruti Alawat went on winning the J4 and J5 events, you know, in straight sets. And that sort of gives you some confidence, even as a, you know, analyzer, that, okay, probably this is, this consistency suits our expectations. Secondly, if they are doing well in the bigger events, because India only organizes J2 and JB1 as the biggest events. We don't have a J1 or a JA event. So, for example, I think Manas won the J2 event. So that again gives you a sort of, you know, a projection. Okay, what this junior is capable of. Within India, I think only these two should matter more than the ranking, how consistently you're doing in the lower ITF events, or how good you're doing in the higher ITF events. The second fact would be how good they're doing in the international events. Now, by international, I would rather prefer some J3 quarterfinal or a semifinal in a European event versus, you know, a winner in a J3 at some Asian country, because I, you know, unarguably the competition, I think, is more in a European tennis perspective. Having said that, for example, I think just last month we had our junior 15-year-old Rishita Reddy win two J5 events in Sri Lanka, and that field was actually tough because they had some prodigious Chinese Taipei and Korean players. So you can look at the opponent and also judge that what the player is going to do. This is from an analyzer's perspective. I think the more you play the events outside India, the more experience you get. And it's also sort of a reality check because you're facing a different competition, different players, different styles of games from all these players. So I think it gives a reality check to our players where they actually stand in the international circuit, because most of the J4 and J5 events in India do not have an international participation. Of course, J2 and J3 does have some participation, but I feel it's still not of an European or North American standard. So that, I think, should give an indication for the player themselves or their coaches or their family members, how they can adjudicate the success of their wards. Beyond that, I believe playing pro circuit tournaments, especially for girls at least 16 or 17, is a must. I think women or the girls tend to, you know, have their peak much earlier compared to the guys. So if they actually have some decent success in the pro circuit at a very young age, I think then it gives an indication for them to choose pro circuit as their natural career, or else I think I would personally as well prefer the collegiate tennis route. Again, having said that, we have had juniors, for example, it's very odd scenario for somebody like a Terence Das, who shown, you know, that he could play brilliantly. He did not play a single junior event, but at 16 he started playing the ITF men's circuit, and he actually beat a couple of top 500, top 700 ATP ranked players. So that also gives you an indication. You don't have to win a junior event. Even if you're capable of beating the ATP pro circuit players at that age, it tells us about that particular player, you know, gives us some confidence that, okay, they are capable of much more. So I think there should be a reality check within the juniors who are playing, because I'm sure there are outliers. For example, if I were to quote Yulia Gerges, I think she never was ranked in the top 300 of the juniors, and she played a lot of junior events. but she would never do well. I think she was never in the top 200 of juniors, but she went on to become the top 10 in the WTA ranking. So her story has always been projected as, you know, a story of grit, determination, perseverance, and that those qualities I often see in maybe somebody like Ankita Raina from an Indian circuit, who tends to be, you know, grinding every other week and for so many years. So that has been a big plus point for Ankita's longevity. Apart from that, I think a biggest flaw within our players has been improper scheduling. I'm sure there is, you know, the other side of the story from the players, but as a you know, analyzer or as a fan, I just never understand the scheduling of most of our players, because I feel the moment they're doing good, they tend to get some injury and take time off, and that has been the case with a lot of our players, or they have some blunder in the scheduling where they miss out on entry list for bigger events and tend to play the smaller events. So I'm sure there is an explanation from their end, which, you know, it's not reaching us, but scheduling flaw and scheduling failure has been a case for many of our top ranked juniors as well as seniors in the past. And I think that is why we need guidance, not just from their coaches, but also from the senior players who have done these mistakes. I think if our juniors would get some sort of guidance from the experienced players, that would help much more. For I think that system is seen currently in the Tamil Nadu, the bunch of boys who are coming from the playing for Tamil Nadu. I think they all play as or move around as a team, like Manish and I think Nitin, and all these players also tend to, you know, go to most of the events together. I think one of the factors for which Sanya or even Rohan had mentioned was the loneliness on the tour. I think that is also, you know, circumvented when you have multiple Indian players playing the same event. So I think you get some sort of time to relax with your friends, and that obviously reflects on the game of the players. So there are some minuscule things that we probably do not know from just as, you know, analyzers or just as fans, because I'm sure it's tough being a player on the circuit, and there are things that never reach us. So I'm sure the players try, but there has always been a big lack in conversion from a good junior to a very good pro circuit player from an Indian standpoint.
Right. I think you've made some really interesting points, Jayant. Would you like to add something to that, or do you agree with everything what he said?
I agree with 95% of what Sufyan said. Maybe one small difference might be that I think it is true that when a lot of Indian players, maybe not specific to juniors, but even somewhat in pros, when they start doing really well, the scheduling seems to be going off in a lot of cases because of injuries. But I'd like to come back to the point that's just showing up because of the fact that there's not at some point in their very, very early career, there was not enough importance on emphasis on fitness. And also, yeah, like it's possible that, you know, a lot of our kids are overtraining, like quantity over quality. Like, obviously that should not be there. I think how that can be improved is like Sufyan said, get in touch with more pro players from India or from your state or whatever. They can like really tell you what mistakes they made and how you should not make them. I think Sufyan made a really good point about traveling together as a team. I think that would really, really help. I can't even imagine traveling like 20 weeks a year all by myself. That's like, it's bound to be hard mentally. Even though you get used to it at some point, it's still much, much better to travel with someone. It would also be great if, I think this is, yeah, it's been said a bunch of times, but it would be great if like there was more support from the local governments and also just like tennis federations in general to provide more support to juniors, which would really help them play especially a lot in Europe, where I think if you want to do well in tennis, Europe is the place to be. It's like the main stomping ground if you want to really develop your game. I think the other thing that we should or might want to talk about is I feel like enough juniors don't consider college tennis. I know it's like all of us have like really high hopes for juniors, and they obviously like have a dream that they want to do really, really well in tennis. And when as soon as they turn 17 or 18, like it's really, really tempting to play a lot of pro events. But I feel like college tennis can be a very, very good way to ease into that. Like you don't necessarily like in pro tennis, you're like really, really vulnerable. You're traveling by yourself. You unless you have like either you're funded by someone who's really committed to you, or you have a lot of like family funding or something, you're probably not traveling with a coach. It's like it's just very hard. And I would think unless you're like top 30 or 40 in the ITF junior circuit by the time you're like 16 or 17, like you should probably not go pro. I feel like college tennis is like a very, very good opportunity where you get to test yourself against like very, very good players. It's not like there's bad level of tennis going on there, and you get to travel with your team. You've got a lot of support in terms of coaching and in terms of like mental health, physical health, all those things. And also one thing which is really important is that at the end you do get an education. I think people look over that fact a lot. It's very I think tennis not only builds you up as an athlete but also as a person, and it's like a great chance to really build yourself up as a person. And it might seem like it won't help you in your pro career, but it'll help you in life in general. So I think that's one thing you should really do. And there have been like so many cases of people who do college tennis. They weren't doing like really, really well in juniors. They were doing well, but they still opted for college tennis, did not opt to go pro, and then it really benefited them. Like obviously Somdev and even Saket Menon, they both went to college and they both ended up doing well. So it's not like you can't go for pro tennis once you've been to college. Also another thing, people, the juniors may, and I'm not saying they do, but they may think that spending 4 years in college is like a waste of time and you don't get exposure. Like I think even if you start playing pro events at like 21, 20, 21, 22, like this, if you know what you're doing and you got a solid foundation, which college tennis can really, really help you with, like it's just a matter of time. It's like I think it's quality over quantity. That's what I would say.
Sofian, would you agree with that about college tennis?
I would agree with that. And to add on to the point that he made about the infrastructure, and I would agree that there is not a lot of tennis specific infrastructure, but I would also give every time any of the tennis playing juniors, their parents have approached me that they say, we do not get opportunities like wild cards in the bigger events, even inside India or outside India. I always give them an example of this certain player called Iga Swiatek. I'm sure everybody is aware of. She was the top ranked junior during her time. She won the Wimbledon, and she would never get a single wild card in any of the pro circuit or the WTA events. She actually rose to the rankings all by her own, and that sets an example. And I always I had projected her to win Grand Slams back in her junior days, and that shows because when nobody's helping you, I think it gives you a little more energy to help yourself, and that has been the case. And if with the infrastructure to speak in the other extreme end of it, for example, China has been putting a lot of money in their infrastructure for development tennis. While it has shown its results, in the women's circuit, they've had plenty of players ranked in top 50, and also had a Grand Slam winner, singles winner in Lina, and a couple of doubles winners in Zhang and Peng Shuai. So they've had players, but they never really had, you know, even two players from the male circuit ranked in top 100 of the ATP rankings. I think only one player ever was ranked in the top 100 of ATP ranking from China. So that shows that infrastructure is not really everything about it. But that has probably been a slow process, because now they have some really top junior players. For example, Yibing Wu or a Shang, who are projected to be a top 20-25 ranked ATP players. So I think the process is slow. I do agree we do not have infrastructure, and we should be concentrating on that. We should be giving guidance to our players. The process is slow. As an audience, I believe we have to be patient. It is a slow process, and the results, you know, will be taking some time.
Right.
Yeah, I also feel like as an audience, a lot of people really want Indian tennis to, like in general, to do very, very well. I think that's, people should really step forward and you know, try to play a part in that. I think even as non-tennis playing people, we can do like a whole lot to help Indian tennis.
Right. What can we do? What do you think?
That's a good question. I think like, first of all, get like, be aware of what's happening. That's the first step. I think secondly, like I used to be really afraid of like reaching out to players and saying that, hey, like, can I help you? And I'd just be thinking that the player is going to think that, like, who is this random person messaging me? But for the most part, I think players are very, very nice. They're much more approachable than you think they are. So like, yeah, try to get involved with them. They'll also feel nice that someone cares about them. Ask them how you can help them. Obviously try to get involved with Indian Tennis Daily if you can. I think just spread the word. I think there's a ton. And also I think I'm not sure why it hasn't been done yet, but there's like so many Indian people doing really well across the world. Like, it'll be really hard, but if there is an organized effort, I think it should be possible to really move the interests of Indian tennis like forward. And of course ITD is already playing a role in that, so I think we just have to continue on, be a little patient. It'll happen.
Right. Sofyan, what do you think about that? What, as a non-tennis playing person, can you contribute to Indian tennis?
Yeah, so I think as Jayant rightly mentioned, I would echo with most of what he said. It's always, you know, important to be aware of the players that are actually trying their hearts out to represent India in the international circuit. Beyond that, I think there are tiny things that we can do. Reach out to players and, you know, reach out to sponsors and, you know, sort of develop some connection between sponsors and the players that you're aware of, because these players actually struggle even in approaching the sponsors. So they might be the best tennis players, but they really are not good when it comes to finding sponsors. We have seen that even from the top ranked players of our country, they tend to be, you know, without any sponsors. So I think that part of their game is very important if you want to experience the international circuit. So if any of you can connect these players with sponsors of any kind, for travel, for nutrition, for equipment, that would be very ideal. Beyond that, again, you can always reach out to Indian Tennis Daily, and I'm sure we will try to connect you to any player that you would want to volunteer to help. So that is about it. I would expect state tennis associations, because this has been the conversation for plenty of time. And if you look at the Indian tennis Twitter, you would also come across this, that we have so many states. So even if every state association would be kind enough to organize one ITF event per state, that would be like a whole annual calendar of tennis in India, and that would increase the competition, because once the number increases, I'm sure even the players outside India would be wanting to, you know, come and play here and increase the competition significantly. And we have seen that in Tunisia or or in Egypt, and we are already seeing the bunch of junior players coming out from Egypt and Tunisia who are doing so well in the world circuit, because you would not expect these countries to do as well because they do not have a history. Whereas in case of India, we have had a big history of great tennis players coming out of the country. So I think the state tennis associations should do a little more. I'm sure and certain that MSLTA or Tamil Nadu Association or a KSLT are doing quite a bit for the players, but I would still expect some of the other tennis associations to come forward and organize at least one tournament per year. And I'm not sure if it's so difficult, because I'm sure there are some drawbacks and some problems with organizing an international event, but I do believe it is possible for organizing just one event per year. And I think slowly we should be transitioning to organizing more of the challenger circuit. And only then should we be thinking of the tour level events. That is my perspective.
Right. Absolutely couldn't agree more with that. And I think on that note, we are just pausing this discussion here. Again, this was just our opinions. We are just discussing very generalistically. And if you all can add to that, it'll be really good for us. So I really encourage our audience to reach out to us with more points and what we can do. So if the audience wants to reach you all out, how can they find you online?
Yeah, I mean, they can approach me on my personal account. I go by the name Ornate Brute on Instagram or Twitter, but you can always reach out to Indian Tennis Daily, and I do. I'm very conscious about the chats and the text messages that we receive on both Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, or even the email editor at indiantennisdaily.com. You all can reach out to Indian Tennis Daily. And so me and Jayant are just the representative for the podcast today. There are a bunch of other people, and I would really like to start taking names out, probably from Vishnu, Vatsal. The list is on, and everybody has been doing tremendous work, just doing their bit. This is a purely non-monetary, not-for-profit sort of an organization, just trying to do their bit to help Indian tennis players and Indian diaspora elsewhere to contribute and flourish tennis. So that has been the aim of ITD.
Yeah, big shout out to all the members who've been putting hard work unconditionally, you know. And we're definitely going to get great results because of that in future, I feel. And I just want to thank you both for joining us today. And I hope we can have more discussions in the future.
Thanks for having us.